something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. And
I am Chuck Bryant.
Hey, Chuck.
How's that?
Oh, it was good.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm working on my radio thing.
I like it. Your voice is smooth as silk.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's nice.
Smooth as spider silk spun from goat's milk.
Not their anus.
How's that?
Right.
Okay.
So, as you know, I am a huge fan of Dr. Werner Habermehl.
I did know that.
Did you?
Yeah, but I don't think anyone else did.
Wow. I had never told anybody that before. Is it that obvious?
I just had a sense. Your
it's t-shirt. It's my t-shirt, isn't it? Nice. Well, for those of you who don't know who Dr. Habermehl is, he is a sex researcher at the University of Hamburg in Germany. Hello, Germany. And Dr. Habermehl did a study that I read about recently on the Daily Mail. So basically, I'm just letting it all hang out here.
Right.
I follow the careers of clinical sex researchers, and I read the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
But there was a study he did that I ran across where he compared the sex lives of redheads with the sex lives of brunettes and blondes. And he found, just statistically speaking, he didn't really – actually, sadly, he did pose an idea of why – This is the case. We'll get to that in a second. But he found that redheads have a noticeably much more active sex life than any other people with any other hair color.
Interesting.
And the thing that kind of got me was that the same goes for people who dye their hair red.
Really?
And get this. The esteemed doctor said that women who are in a committed relationship and dye their hair red, that is a really big red flag to the guy.
Oh, that they may be stepping out?
They're looking.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, Emily ever done that?
Yeah, she went red a little for a time. Yeah.
When was this?
I think it was before we were married. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
This all makes sense now.
Yeah, right, exactly. You're like, I knew my kid looked like the mailman.
Right.
Yeah. So this is...
Where are you getting at here?
Well, here, you ready?
Yeah.
So the doctor basically says, well, redheads have a fiery temperament and they're very passionate, which is just so...
Cliched.
It is, and it's not necessarily true. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized that redheads are among the most maligned and stereotyped people of any hair color.
Redheaded
even
stepchild.
Even worse than blondes.
The phrase redheaded stepchild.
Redheaded stepchild.
Sure.
Did you know also that there was twice, there's been this big news cycle about redheads going extinct.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
2005 and 2007.
Yeah, which is not true.
No.
We just should say that right away.
No, there was one in 2007. That's the most recent one that said that the Oxford Hair Institute, which sounds so official.
Yeah, it does.
It said that redheads will be extinct by 2060.
Right, because of the recessive gene that carries red hair. In theory, they could die out.
You want to get into genetics, do you?
I'd prefer not to, but I think we have to.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, let's just give a brief overview. Redheads... are That's a phenotype.
Right.
It's a physical trait. You can see it. You can sense it. Their genotype, the genetic trait that makes them redheads, is this. It's a recessive gene.
Right. It's a mutation in the MC1R gene.
Yes, and that is the melanocortin-1 receptor gene.
Right.
Okay. So the MCR1 gene is responsible for certain pigment productions.
Right.
And redheads actually overproduce a red pigment called pheomelanin,
mm-hmm.
and that which gives them their red hair. And they underproduce eumelanin,
right?
Which gives them a pale skin. It's a
right.
darker
fair
brown.
Skin.
It's a brown pigment,
right? Which is underproduced,
and it's actually a genetic mutation.
It is.
Did you know that?
I did.
Okay, so it, like you said, it's also recessive,
right? Which means it can skip generations and then reappear. You know. Much later.
Yeah, you or I could actually have a mutated MCR1 gene.
Right.
And although neither one of us has red hair.
True.
We'll never know until we have kids with red hair.
Right.
If either one of us comes up with a kid with red hair, it means that you and your wife both had this recessive gene. It got together.
Right.
And the kid had to have this mutated gene.
Right.
Because of the chromosomal contributions by the parents.
Right. Or right? It means infidelity.
Again, yeah,
back to that.
It depends, you know. I mean, it could have been. It depends on what Emily did back when she dyed her hair red.
Right.
Right. Although you probably know by now, right?
If she had a child?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been around the whole time.
Okay, good. All right. So
So they are not becoming extinct. Not
no,
true.
No, they could, though. It would take something on the order of an evolutionary bottleneck.
Right.
Which, as we all know, would basically make all of us mouth breathers,
right?
Like because of all the rampant familial inbreeding that it would take to, you know, expand the genetic pool again.
Sure,
it's entirely possible if everybody who had the recessive gene, the MCR1 mm-hmm. mutation,
yeah,
if all of them died out,
right. Well,
there goes redheads.
Yeah,
technically that's the case with everything.
Exactly.
Now there may be a higher likelihood in an evolutionary bottleneck, or it might take a less of an evolutionary bottleneck for redheads to die out because it is rare.
Right.
But yeah, they're definitely going to be around beyond 2060.
Yeah, I know quite a few redheads myself, so.
I know virtually none. I'm actually trying to think right here. I can't come up with a single redhead.
Yeah, I know a couple. Actually, we don't have anyone on staff either, do we?
This is going to drive me crazy.
Oh, well, of course. Candace, our old
Candace, yes. Our
old partner.
There
how
you
can
go.
We, how can we forget Candace?
How? I don't know. That's
She's
really
the reddest
weird.
Of heads.
She really is. And you know what? She kind of proves the good doctor's theory. She is fiery.
She's a spunky girl.
She definitely is. Okay, so redheads are going to be around for a while,
they
including
are.
Candace, I imagine.
Yes, thankfully.
Yes, and they are, as we said, my very shaky thesis for this podcast, much maligned. I've got another piece of supporting evidence that redheads are often mistreated.
Yes, I know where you're going here.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to tell them about this? This study?
Yeah, it turns out that, and this is a cool little fact that you can share with your friends and family, redheads actually require more anesthetic when undergoing surgery.
Yeah, and apparently the medical establishment, especially among anesthesiologists and anesthetists, this is common knowledge.
Right.
But there hadn't been an actual study.
Correct.
Quantifying this before,
right.
2002.
Right.
And these University of Louisville researchers conducted this kind of
cruel,
a little archaic, maybe.
Yeah, when I read this, I thought there's got to be a better way to find this out, but you know, maybe there's not.
Yeah. So what we're talking about was this Louisville study. They took 20 female subjects,
uh-huh.
10 brunettes, I believe, 10 redheads.
Yes.
All of them were on virtually the same menstrual cycle, which ruled out any hormonal explanation for this, because apparently hormones can contribute to your susceptibility or rejection of anesthesia.
Correct.
And they gave them all the gas.
Right.
They gave them, what is it, desflurane?
Desflurane.
Which is a general anesthetic gas.
Right.
And they knocked these women out.
Yeah.
And then they got medieval on their asses.
Uh-huh.
They used, I looked this up, they used bilateral intradermal needles to deliver the electric shock. So basically, they were poking these women with needles and then delivering shocks.
Electric shocks into their body to see if they would react and feel pain.
Yeah, because when you're unconscious, it's much different from sleeping. When you're unconscious, your pain gateway is shut down.
Which is why they do it for surgery. You don't want someone digging into your chest cavity and be able to feel it.
Right, and it's a different state. And actually, scary enough, we don't fully understand how anesthesia works on the brain. We don't know enough about the brain.
It's kind of
scary.
We just
kind of know it works. You know, we figured out, I guess, through trial and error, patients dying left and right, what the right ratio is for the average person. Right?
Yeah, it's a tough job.
They also have the highest insurance premiums.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah,
and they also make some pretty good coin.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're thinking of trying to get into the medical field and you want to make a bunch of money, go anesthesia.
Right. And gas those redheads.
Exactly. So, okay, let's get back to this.
Right.
So they're sitting there delivering shocks to these redheads and actually brunettes. Everyone in the study was treated equally cruelly.
Right.
And they're delivering shocks and they would decrease the gas or increase the gas depending on the reaction until they stopped getting pain reactions.
Right.
So then the other really kind of startling aspect of the study was that one of the researchers described the shocks as intolerable to a conscious person.
Right.
So these weren't like little like, ooh, I just licked a 9-volt battery.
Right.
These were electric shocks that you would be like, you know, you'd come at somebody who did this to you if you could move. So they just keep shocking them over and over again. And then they wrote down, you know, the ratios. And they came up with, as you said, redheads need 20% more anesthesia.
On average, 20%, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is pretty substantial.
It is substantial. But, I mean, what's the deal? Why?
Well, before we move on to that, just quickly, I wanted to point out that another study a couple of years later said that the same thing happened in men. So if you're a man out there, you're going to need some extra gas. It's not just for women.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
But because we don't know exactly how anesthesia works, we don't know exactly why this is true.
Yeah. They've just finally linked it.
Right.
They said there is a link, but we're not exactly why that link is there.
Well, which is the MC1R gene, which
right.
is what we were talking about earlier.
That genotype has been linked directly to anesthesia for the first time.
Exactly.
So why? What are some of the... some of the reasons they've given.
Well, yeah, they don't know for sure, but they have one explanation that that gene is also involved in hormones that stimulate pain receptors.
Yeah.
Which would make sense.
It would make sense.
Kind of the obvious route, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I believe they had another one that said that the pigments themselves actually cause an increase in pain sensitivity.
Yeah, I think that was the one where they said there's such an abundance of this pigment.
Right.
Things like to go bind to other things in our body.
Uh-huh.
And they're looking for something. Maybe the pain receptors in the brain are similar to the pain
right.
receptors that these pigments would normally attach to.
Right. So it overstimulates the brain.
Yeah, it makes
pain
them
responses.
More sensitive to pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So either way, if you're a redhead, I feel bad for you.
I don't
like pain.
Yeah, but being redhead's kind of cool. It's like being left-handed. I wish I was a left-handed redhead.
Wow.
Instead, I'm just a right-handed brunette.
I know. We're just kind of average guys, aren't
average,
we?
Average dudes.
There actually is one other good thing that came out of this study. It may actually spur development of a kind of anesthesia that's tailored just for redheads.
Interesting.
That's called pharmacogenetics. You heard of this?
Yeah.
So it's basically designing drugs to...
More tailor-made.
Tailoring them to somebody based on their genetic makeup.
Right. That makes sense.
It does make sense.
Seems like it would be safer.
It definitely falls into that controversy about genetic testing, though, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah, true.
So it's kind of a fine line, like keep redheads out of pain
right.
or, you know, choose only blonde-haired, blue-eyed children in the future.
Right. The boys from Brazil, eventually.
Weird stuff.
You know what I would call that if they actually do manufacture this?
What?
I'd call it red gas.
Nice.
That's what I'd call it.
Nice. Yeah, you couldn't call it Red Death. It'd be,
yeah.
You'd have a terrible market share, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would believe
Red
so.
Gas is pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice one, Chuck. Well, look for Red Gas in the future. And if you want to know more about redheads and anesthesia, extinction, that kind of stuff, you can type those words in any kind of clever combination in our handy search bar at howstuffworks.com. And don't go anywhere, because Chuck's got something for you. I think it's called Listener Mail.
Listener Mail time. So, yeah, Josh, we're back here mere seconds later, and I have an exceptional listener mail here. This is what I've titled it, and I keep a little folder of exceptional mail. And I've been holding on to this one for a while, and you might remember this, from our buddy Greg Storkin, who wrote us a top 10. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
This is one of our first
Love
mails.
This guy.
So
this
I'm gonna
was,
give
this is titillating and arousing.
It was. I'm going to give Greg his due. I'm not going to read all 10, but he basically wrote a top 10 reasons why he's obsessed with Stuff You Should Know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go over a few of my favorites. You purposely leave early for work and then take side streets along the way simply to have more time to listen to your new episode.
Nice.
So this guy's furthering his commute.
Yeah.
You hum the jazzy theme song as you go about your day, which I do as well.
Uh-huh.
You have more fun learning from Josh and Chuck than you did from your super hot organic chemistry professor. Which is awesome.
It is.
A little piece of you dies when you hear the theme music fade back in, signaling the end of the episode. It's very sad. And his number one reason was you have a full-fledged man crush on Josh and Chuck.
Man crush.
And we bring this up because we've had, oddly, quite a few men write us and say they have man crushes.
I know. We're super hot organic chemistry teachers.
It's just weird. But the man crush phenomenon is a real thing. I know you have quite a few.
Bromance.
Yeah. I know actor John Leguizamo. You're very hot for him.
I don't like to talk about it. I hope one day that I will meet John Leguizamo. I'm not really holding out hope. I don't want to touch him or anything. It's more just like being next to him. You know what I'm saying? And have him like punch me in the shoulder and be like, hey, Josh, how's it going?
I think that's what a man crush is. It really means is what you want to do is you want to go out and like have a beer with us. Like I have a tremendous man crush on George Clooney.
Yeah.
Because I want to go hang out with George Clooney and talk about basketball and drink a beer, you know?
You know, it's underrated these days, but there is such thing as platonic love.
Yeah. If he kissed me, I wouldn't...
That's not platonic.
Yeah, but I wouldn't... It's George Clooney. It would be a good story.
It depends on how forceful the kiss was, right?
True.
Okay.
And how shaven he was.
Well, if you want to tell Chuck or I about your recent bromance or who you have a man crush on or you want to send us a top 10 list... And by the way, Greg, you can expect a T-shirt for that top 10 list, buddy.
T-shirt worthy.
Definitely. Send us your size and your mailing address to the email address you're about to give. Actually, you've already got it, so just send it again, will you? And if you want to send us one for the first time, you're not quite certain who to address it to, what email address you need to ship it off to, you want to send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.